Greetings in the name of Jesus. Thank you for coming tonight. It's good to see you all here. May God help us to make those commitments, to raise an Ebenezer. I agree with what our brother had said. Sometimes driving a stake in, raising an Ebenezer is a good thing to do in helping us with change. Children, I told you to try to tell a story every evening before we go into the message, and I have another story for you again tonight. Maybe this story will be understood a little bit more by those who are maybe just a little bit older. Some of the 4 and 5 year olds may have a little harder time grasping this story. I'm sorry about that, but we'll have a story coming tomorrow evening, hopefully, that you'll be able to get a hold of maybe a little bit better. But I think there's something here for all of us. Tonight you have your Bibles along, don't you? Children, you got your Bibles along. You know, the Bible is a tremendous gift to us. In New York, where you're living, you can have a Bible and you can have one all of your own. And there's no real problems with that, is it? No one comes and tells you you cannot have your Bible. You can have a Bible freely. But you know, in some countries, it's not that way. Some countries, at least as I would understand it, as communist countries, it may be different. There's persecution for our faith. This story is titled The Strong Weapon. I copied this story down, bringing it out of my memory as I remember it as a little boy, and I will try to read it. Hopefully with clarity that you can follow along with this story. This story may be happening somewhere right now in the world. We do not know, but it may be. The story of the strong weapon. In a little town of Madden, we find two figures walking into the woods. Two figures, one tall, taking long, easy strides, the other short, half running, to keep up the swift pace. And as they walked, they talked. "Father, why do you go so far into the woods to cut wood for mother's fire?"
"You shall see, Leo."
"But father, when you go so far into the wood to cut wood for mother's fire, you come late to the printing shop."
"And Hubert?"
"Hubert is never late to his shop."
"Ah, don't worry about Hubert."
"But I do, father. He hates you."
"Leo, do you wonder why I left you come with me this morning?"
"Yes, father."
"Well, your mother and I feel you're old enough to know."
"To know what? Has Hubert taken the shop away?"
"My, my, don't worry about Hubert.
I have something to show you."
"Something to show me?"
"Yes, it's my dearest treasure."
"Treasure? Is it gold?"
"No, no, something more precious than gold."
"More precious?"
"Yes, my Bible."
"A Bible? It's death to own a Bible."
"Here it is, hidden in the hollow of this tree. I almost have my fingers on it. Here it is."
"Why, it's a tin box."
"Open it. I want to see it."
"Careful now. Careful now."
"Ah, a real Bible. I often wondered what a Bible looked like."
"Ah, can it be you, a mere child, have never seen a Bible?"
George was the father's name. George and Leo spent many hours traveling to the forest and reading from the precious treasure. A few evenings later, we follow them again to the forest.
"Father, you're walking so fast, I can hardly keep up."
"It's late, Leo. We must hurry."
"Hurry, father, get out the tin box."
"What's the matter, father?"
"It's gone."
"The Bible is gone."
"No, it must be there. I saw you put it away the last time. It must be there." No, the Bible is gone. What are we going to do? There is nothing to do but to go home and wait and wait. The next evening, there was a knock on Gregory's door. Oh, they've come, they've come. Hush, Leo, bid them enter. Hubert, Hubert, Bramo. You seem a bit surprised that your bitter rival would be a call, perhaps. I have never considered you my rival, Hubert. You're a fool to resist me. I always get my way. I don't resist you. You run a printing shop, and I own the printing shop. Your shop is an affront to me. It's difficult for me to see my customers going to your shop. But my father never tries to take your customers away. Be quiet. I want your shop, and I shall have it too. But my shop is not for sale. Sale, no longer I ask you to sell. No, I shall take it. You can't do that. Gregory, I have something to show you. Just a small thing. My Bible. Ah, you admit it's yours? Good. Last week I followed you to the forest. I saw you reading the Bible. You saw me reading the Bible? I saw you. Tomorrow I give this to the police, and then the shop will be mine. You have not yet told the authorities? No, but I will, all right. Have no fear of that. Farewell. Do you have one last wish you would permit me to grant? A last wish? Yes, Gregory. You're dying, you know, Gregory. Dying. Come tell me your last wish. I will grant it for you. I wish you would not tell the authorities until tomorrow night. I thought you were not so calm. I am not afraid to die, and that is not all of my wish. Proceed, Gregory. This amuses me greatly. This amuses me greatly. And I wish you could read the book of Romans 5 times. What? One last request and he wants me to read the Bible? Gregory, you're more of a fool than I thought. Will you do it, Hubert? You have wasted a wish. Hubert, will you do it? Yeah, I will. I will. This amuses me greatly. Farewell. There now, Leo. He's gone. The Word of God is our strong weapon. It's living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Call your mother. We will pray. The next evening, there was a knock at Gregory's door. Good evening, Hubert. Good evening, Gregory. Well? I have been reading your book all day. I have found myself written through all the pages. Is it true what it says here that Jesus will forgive sinners? Ah, Rupert, it is true. Gregory, show me the way to the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I do believe, Gregory. I do believe. And that is where the story ends. The Word of God is powerful. It's living and sharper than a two-edged sword. To have the gift of God's holy word with us is a tremendous treasure. Let us read it and let us obey its message. Its power through the Holy Spirit can change lives and can make sinners into saints. We will now sing our theme song. Carster, lead us in verses 1 and first and last verse. Four.
for a message tonight. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, in verses 37 to 40, we'll read, and we'll be looking at a few other verses, possibly as we go through the message. Genesis 41, verse 37, says, after Joseph has told Pharaoh the interpretation of the dreams, and he is being made ruler over Egypt. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Title of the message tonight is, can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Tonight I've been led to bring a message, more particularly focused maybe on brother's side of the house, but certainly applies to sisters as well. By the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit tonight, we want to look at this question. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? This was Pharaoh's question. I'd like to endeavor to encourage you tonight, brothers. Sometimes when we have Father's Day, we preach sermons and we sort of, maybe we overhaul the fathers. And when we have Mother's Day messages, maybe we preach something a little bit more soft and gentle, and we understand that. My burden is not to overhaul you brothers tonight. My burden is to encourage us. We need men today. And we need real men today. Men, and we'll notice that as we move through the message. Joseph. Who was Joseph? Three simple things. Joseph was the oldest son of Jacob and Rachel. Remember, Joseph's brother was Benjamin. He was the oldest son of Jacob and Rachel. Genesis 30, verses 22 to 25 would indicate that Joseph was born while Jacob was still serving Laban. Joseph was the son who Jacob loved above the rest. Bible tells us that Joseph was loved above the rest of his brothers. Joseph was a man who faced much opposition. And in our way of thinking, he was placed under hard times in part, possibly by his father's favoritism, which incited his brothers' jealousy, and they became angry with him. But however, God knew all about Joseph. God knew all about what he was about. Brothers, tonight, Joseph is an example to us of patience in adversity. He's an example to us of being victorious over temptation, severe temptation. He was victorious. He's an example to us tonight of humble leadership. As we look at Joseph's life, He's an example to us tonight of someone who was willing to serve, even in unfavorable circumstances, in prison, falsely accused. He's willing to serve. He's an example tonight of one of forgiveness. He's an example of one of faithfulness. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Down through the corridors of time, faithful men in whom the Spirit of God was were used of God to accomplish tasks that appeared insurmountable. We can think of men like Moses, Abraham, Joshua, the apostles, our forefathers in the Reformation, Conrad Grebel, Felix Mons, George Blaurock, and others. We could bring it closer home to our day, numerous revival movements. How about the starting of the Christian day school as we know it today? Faithful men who had a vision, in whom the Spirit of God was, and were willing to step out and take a stand. God is looking for men today who are willing to bear the cause of faithfulness in our day. The cause of, David said as he was standing there with his brethren, the armies of Israel, and Goliath was there defying the armies, and David said, is there not a cause? I'm going to open myself up tonight, and I will tell you what one of my greatest weaknesses is as a man. One of my greatest weaknesses is complacency and an unwillingness to become committed. Neutral ground is just pretty comfortable because it's uncommittal. Did you ever find it that way? One of the frustrating things to a wife and daughters is when dad does not give an answer. Is it yes or is it no? Give us an answer. And we say we don't really want to give an answer because if we give one, then what? Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And sometimes in our uncommitted state as men, we give in to compromise. We give in to compromise. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to do what? To teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Brother, tonight, am I a faithful man? Are you a faithful man? Are you able to teach others also the things of God? I have 3 points tonight. And under these points, we'll look at a few things. Joseph, Pharaoh said, Who can find such a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Brothers, point number one. Characteristics of spiritual men. He is a man of spiritual discernment. I do not mean charismatic, listening for a specific voice of God, and that's not what I mean. I mean a man of spiritual discernment. I'm going to turn back a few pages here in this story of in this account of Joseph to Joseph 37 and verse 2, the end of verse 2. Joseph is a lad here. He's 17 years old. And Joseph is out in the fields, apparently. He was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph discerned. He discerned. He was a discerning person. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple passeth on and are punished." Discernment means that we have the ability to judge well. Foundational to this point is the characteristic of a spiritual man is a man who first of all knows God and has a relationship with his Father in heaven. And in his relationship with God and his devotion to him, he approaches life through that filter. Spiritual discernment. We need fathers today who are able to discern the multiplicity of things. And I challenge you, fathers, how do you discern? How do you discern? You see, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Spiritual men make choices in life using perception and discernment founded on the Word of God. We need to teach our children the Word of God. Rather than telling them, and I fail in this so often, I have so much room to grow in this myself. But to teach our families and our children the why we do what we do from the Scripture, rather than handing them just a set of rules. But to teach them from the Scripture why we do what we do is so important. I fail so many times. You know what? It takes time to do that. I challenge you, fathers, if you have not walked with your child, take off early from work and take a walk with your child, your children, and more than just once, and talk about these things. Exercising spiritual discernment is essential in charting a safe course for our families, for us and for our little ones. Discerning, spiritual discernment is a result of the Holy Spirit's direction in our life. It touches things as our employment, technology questions. Are we going to have WhatsApp? Are we going to have CloudVale?
What are we going to do with all these things? Life choices are important. Joseph was a man who discerned. In chapter 39 of verse 9, Joseph used, he discerned. He knew what was about to happen. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We are faced with crossroads time and time and time again. We are faced with, as men, I think our nature is to look into the future. We look into the future and we try to see what's ahead. And that's good. I think we should do that. But in our looking, we are the watchmen on the wall for our family. Discern. Number two, characteristics of a spiritual man. He is a man of integrity. He is a man of integrity. Joseph is an example of one who faced hard times victorious. Integrity is the quality of having strong ethical and moral principles and following them at all times, no matter who is watching. A person with integrity lives honestly. He lives an honest life. He's honest and truthful. Joseph had numerous opportunities where he could have thought that no one will ever know. But he remained faithful in spite of. He remained faithful in spite of. How about our dealings that we have? Do we deal fairly? Do we give honest extra measure? Do we make sure that others are taken care of above ourselves? Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? How do your neighbors and the local community know you as? What is the reputation that you are leaving? Is it one of uprightness? Do they know you as a man of God, a man of your word, a man of integrity? Joseph expressed his integrity in his submission to unfair treatment. Sometimes things happen. Joseph was treated so unfairly. I do not know of any time where Joseph complained. Yes, towards the end of the chapter, and I do not understand the total reasons for this, Joseph tested his brothers. But in that, I do not detect that there was revenge and bitterness. True strength, men, is not measured by the outward manifestation of its presence, but by its ability to remain intact through trial. True strength is not measured by the outward manifestation of its presence, but by its ability to remain intact through trial. A tree that appears strong on the outside but has a rotten center is destined to fail. I remember cutting a tree down at our house where we used to live. Now this tree, I wanted to get rid of it because it was dead.
I cut it down, and when it fell and hit, if I remember right, it broke open at one spot, and it was full of ants. Just full of ants in there. Just destroyed the center of the tree. Satan wants to shoot arrows into our hearts, men, and destroy the center. If he gets us in the center, he knows in time we'll fall. Men of integrity, Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Our strength is not and cannot be in ourselves, but it must be in our surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord. My last point. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? He is a man of forgiveness and reconciliation. Joseph, as I said before, is an example to us of this kind of man. A man who overcame the false accusations, prison experiences, and ill will with forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation is defined as the restoration of friendly relationships. Do you have stressed relationships, brothers? I've lived long enough to know that in relationships, there's only so far that one side can go. But I would like to just plead with you tonight that make sure that in your side, you are forgiving. You are not responsible for the other brother or sister or whoever it may be, for their ability. You're not responsible for their unforgiveness towards you. So I can phrase this right. You're responsible for yourself to make sure you have done all that you can that makes it easy for them to forgive. Let me say it that way. I want to say tonight that I believe that there are struggles that we have that are directly related to unforgiving spirits. And we do not deal with them. Unforgiveness in the heart breeds bitterness. It breeds more hurt. Carrying that load, I plead with you tonight to forgive. Matthew 6, 14 to 15 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That makes it pretty serious. Very serious. Forgiveness. There's more that I would like to say about that. But I know what it is like to, I know what it's like to work through that struggle. But it is possible through the grace of God to work through it and to lay it all down. To lay down the charge. To lay down the urge to fight. To lay down that urge. Joseph forgave. Oh, we should read that story, but the story of his brothers, you know it. Where he tells them he's Joseph. And they cry together. And one of the verses tells us, I don't know exactly how it's worded, but the idea is that they sat down and they talked. That is forgiveness. Conclusion. 1 Corinthians 16:13. If you care to, I'd like you to turn there in concluding verse. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity. The word quit means to act manly, to be a man, act manly, bear the responsibility. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? A man of discernment, a man of integrity, and a man of forgiveness. Can we find a man? God bless you. I think we'll sing a verse of invitation hymn tonight. What will the number be? 290.